VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon, coming to you live from Trail Ridge Camp, just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin, as we're ministering this week to boys and girls here for our kids' camp. And what a joy and thrill it is to discuss the topic, passing on the torch, and what a joy it is to minister to these young people. And even as we're here, we see so many things that are going in the world around us. And it was shocked yesterday. I mean, late yesterday afternoon when word came to me about the word from the White House. I mean, we had the Biden administration launching what they called a targeted door-to-door outreach to get remaining Americans vaccinated by ensuring that they have the information they need on how to have both safe and accessible, how safe and accessible the vaccination is. Now, I think everybody knows how accessible it is. I mean, anybody who watches news has any kind of news coming to them, whether it be that of over-the-air broadcasting, whether it be that of social media. There have been targeted efforts. Anybody who's walked into a pharmacy or walked by certain retail stores or has gone through an airport, they'll see these vaccination stations. They're outside virtually every pharmacy here across this land, it appears. And people know how accessible they are. But guess what? The lines have been going down and for a reason. And so they've been having to close these so-called vaccination sites because the American people who have wanted it have gotten it. And those who don't, by and large, have said, no, I'm not going to do this. Well, yesterday we had the reminder come to us again that we fell short of the president's goal. The president wanted to see a 70% so-called vaccination rate by July 4th. We are now past July 4th. And according to various news accounts, we see that 48% are so-called fully vaccinated that have received both shots or the single J&J shot. The percent of those who have had at least one shot is 64%, but the president had targeted 70% by July 4th. And so yesterday, early afternoon, there was an indication that came to us from Jen Psaki, who at 1:04 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday afternoon had a press conference. We're going to play just a couple-minute clip as she began that press conference yesterday, what she had to say about this very situation. Now, listen for these words, because she talks about, she uses the term targeted, community-by-community, door-to-door outreach to get remaining Americans vaccinated by ensuring that they have the information they need on how both safe and accessible the vaccine is. Let's listen to what Press Secretary Jen Psaki said just a little over 24 hours ago yesterday.
After the president is briefed by his COVID-19 response team this afternoon, he will speak to the American people about the strong progress that the country has made in recovery because of its robust vaccination campaign, as well as the importance of every eligible American getting vaccinated, especially as the Delta variant continues to grow among unvaccinated people across the country. By the end of the week, the United States will be nearing 160 million people fully vaccinated, which the president will touch on today as well, which is critically important as fully vaccinated people are protected against the Delta variant. He will also stress how the administration will continue its effort to work with governors, local leaders, and across the public and private sector to get more Americans vaccinated by making vaccines available in more healthcare settings and respond to hotspots. The president will outline five areas his team is focused on to get more Americans vaccinated. One, targeted community by community door-to-door outreach to get remaining Americans vaccinated by ensuring they have the information they need on how both safe and accessible the vaccine is. Two, a renewed emphasis on getting the vaccines to more primary care doctors and physicians, something that we've seen as a very successful tactic with reaching groups with lower vaccination rates in the past few months. Three, stepped up efforts, which is complementary to my last point, to get vaccines to pediatricians and other providers who serve younger people so that adolescents aged 12 to 18 can get vaccinated as they go for back-to-school checkups or get ready for fall sports. 4, continue expanding efforts to make the vaccine accessible for workers. Access is an area where we've seen as a challenge and one where, as we've worked to address it, we've seen increasing rates. So that includes setting up vaccination clinics at workplaces and PTO or time leave that employees can take off to get vaccinated. And finally, expanding our mobile clinic efforts, meeting people where they are, and making sure we're taking the vaccine to communities.
Well, indeed, they are doing that. I mean, we have seen that already taking place. Again, it's hard not to stumble across one of these in one's community for the most part. I'm not sure how it is in rural areas, but did you hear what she said? Again, number one on Biden's list, targeted community by community, door-to-door outreach to get remaining Americans vaccinated by ensuring they have the information they need on how both safe and accessible the vaccine is. Now, there's no comment from her there in that statement about what we have from the vaccine adverse reactions statistics that have come in thus far. We'll have some comments on that in just a bit here as well. But she went forth to say this. Now, the White House is targeting what they're calling the vaccine hesitant, this new door-to-door campaign. Now, it's very interesting to see that she's also talking about how this is going to provide information on the Delta variant as well. But there are a number of people that are reacting to this. We'll get into some of the reactions in just a moment. Oh, so she spoke at about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, 1:04 p.m. Eastern time, and then 2 hours and 1 minute later, at 3:05 p.m. Eastern time, President Biden then went on the scene to give about, it's his response in COVID-19 response and the vaccination program. Let's listen in to what President Biden had to say yesterday afternoon, just 2 hours after Jen Psaki.
In today's briefing, we discussed how our administration is going to devote the remainder of the summer to a special focus on 5 ways to make gains in getting those of you who are unvaccinated vaccinated. Because here's the deal. We are continuing to wind down the mass vaccination sites that did so much in the spring to rapidly vaccinate those eager to get their first shot and their second shot, for that matter, if they needed a second. Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oft times door to door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus. Look, equity, equality, it remains at the heart of our responsibility of ensuring the communities that are the hardest hit by the virus have the information and the access to get vaccinated. So, as we shift from these centralized mass vaccination sites where we're doing thousands of people a day, we're going to put even more emphasis on getting vaccinated in your community, close to home, conveniently, and a location you're already familiar with. First thing we're going to do, this includes 42,000 local pharmacies where folks with questions can talk to the pharmacists they know and already have dealt with. These locations overwhelmingly allow you to walk in without an appointment, get the vaccination when you're picking up your prescription or just going in to get toothpaste or something else you need from a drugstore. Second, my team is going to place renewed emphasis on getting the vaccines to more and more family doctors and healthcare providers so more Americans can get the shot at their doctor's office from the folks that they know and they trust the most. Third thing we're going to do, we're going to step up efforts to get vaccines to your family doctors and other doctors who serve younger people so the adolescents ages 12 to 18 can get vaccinated. And as they go for back-to-school checkups or getting ready for the physicals they need for fall sports. Fourth, we're also intensifying our efforts to meet people where they are, outside of their neighborhoods, pharmacies, and doctor's office. This includes continuing to work with employers to make vaccination shots available at work, on the work site if possible, or give their employees paid time off to get vaccinated in a nearby facility. And fifth and finally, we're sending out more mobile clinic units out there to help people at special events, summer festivals, sporting events, as well as places of worship wherever we can find people gathered. In addition to these initiatives to continue to vaccinate the unvaccinated, we're stepping up our preparations to respond to the outbreaks we're going to see among the unvaccinated. For that, we're mobilizing what I'm calling COVID-19 surge response teams. These teams are made up of experts from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and elsewhere across our government, other groups. And they're going to help states that have particular problems prevent, detect, and respond to the spread of the Delta variant among unvaccinated people in communities with low vaccination rates.
Folks, did you hear that? He talked about going, take these mobile clinics out where people are, special events, summer festivals, sporting events, as well as, did you catch it, places of work, wherever we can find people gathered. President Biden just spoke those words yesterday afternoon. He also talked about putting together what he is calling COVID-19 surge response teams. So FEMA is going to be part of this, folks. The CDC is going to be a part of this. And elsewhere across our government, other groups, all going to be part of this COVID-19 surge response team. There's been a lot of reactions that have been coming in from various sources. Here is one individual, one woman, verbalized the unspoken thoughts of many Americans. She tweeted out, "They are tracking your personal vaccine status and releasing it to strangers to knock on your door. How is that this not a violation of HIPAA?" We also have a number of individuals who have spoken about this. Here's Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas reacting to the president. "How about don't knock on my door? You're not my parents. You're the government. Make the vaccine available and let people be free to choose. Why is this concept so hard for the left?" We also have Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado warning, "The government now wants to go door to door to convince you and get on, quote, optional vaccine." There is a word from Dr. Nicole Safer, who wrote, "Vaccine education and conversation should be between a doctor and patient, not by a grassroots government door knocker." And also Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona expressed, "It's none of the government's business knowing who has or who has not been vaccinated." The senior editor for the Daily Wire, Ash Short, asked this question, "How will the government know who is vaccinated or not for this kind of targeting?" Others have also spoken out in regard to this, different legislators as well. And there are many that are just remaining convinced that the COVID risks are overstated or that the side effects seen with some vaccinations merit greater caution and examination. There are also those who remain some who feel the vaccines were rolled out too quickly to have been thoroughly tested and do not want to be part of the testing program. Yesterday afternoon, we had rolled out from the White House, first from Jen Psaki, 2 hours later by President Biden himself, announcing this door-to-door campaign that's going to be getting underway here as this is the focus here for these summer months. We missed the target that he had by July 4th. Well, friends, there's more information we're going to put together here. For instance, a reminder of the press conference that Senator Johnson had just a week ago that we aired here on Crosstalk. We're going to share with you again, just renew, some of the findings that he gave coming to us from the FDA and the CDC. Don't go away. You're listening to Crosstalk here on BCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Noah's Ark Explorer from the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where did Noah build the ark?
Chris, we simply don't know where Noah lived nor where he built his boat. This is because the flood of Noah's day totally restructured the surface of the earth. There are no geographical remnants of that pre-flood world. Everything about that world is totally gone. Now, it is true that two of the four rivers named before the flood are the same names as today's rivers, but I suspect that Noah named these rivers like he did because they reminded him of the previous rivers. They couldn't have been the same because beneath these rivers are tens of thousands of feet of flood-deposited strata. They simply didn't exist before the flood. At least that's how I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. As yesterday, the Biden administration announced this, we're going to have this door-to-door campaign. We're going to reach the so-called vaccine hesitants. We're going to target them with this door-to-door campaign. Neighborhood-to-neighborhood campaign. And friends, one of the things that's really interesting in all of this, the White House is always very, very measured in what words they put out. Oh, there's one time, you know, when they speak off their head and off the cuff and they have some reaction. Oh, no, we have to clarify that, but not when they prepare their remarks in advance. And that's what I'm looking at here right now from Jen Psaki. I mean, it is very clear when she talks about community by community, door to door outreach to get remaining Americans vaccinated by ensuring they have the information they need on how both safe and accessible the vaccine is. And then we had President Biden as well also talk about going by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus. And then he talked about going to the summer festivals and sporting events as well as places of worship wherever we can find people gathered. Now, it's kind of interesting. It seems like now they're kind of promoting people gathering together so they can go with their campaign. Before, we said don't gather together. And there are those who are advocating mask wearing again and social distancing again because of this new variant. And what is the purpose of this so-called vaccination for then if you have to go back to mask wearing and social distancing? I want to recall what Senator Johnson said last week. He put a couple charts up. You couldn't see the charts, but he referred to them through the press conference that he had where he brought together individuals who had shared their stories of their adverse reactions. And he said he's pro-vaccine. He has been, you know, for Operation Warp Speed. But he said, I believe these people. There are stories that need to be told. There's stories that need to be heard. And he put up a couple charts that compiled data from the FDA and the CDC talking about 25 years of various drug and their adverse effects. Ivermectin, over 25 years, has produced 44 deaths. Hydroxychloroquine, over 25 years, 592 deaths. The flu vaccine, over 25 years, 955 deaths. Dexamethasone, 3,785 deaths over 25 years. Tylenol, 18,424 deaths over 25 years. Since 2020, remdesivir, 1,173 deaths. The COVID vaccine in 6 months, 4,812 deaths reported. That's as of when he compiled the data that had been given here just over a week ago, and I believe that data goes back to the middle part of the month of June. So you have 44 deaths over 25 years for ivermectin, 4,812 deaths from the COVID vaccine. Now, those numbers have jumped. Just before coming on the program today, I went to the CDC's website. They have a section called the Selected Adverse Effects, Events rather, reported after COVID-19 vaccination. And down at the bottom of this page, they talk about reports of death after COVID-19 vaccinations are rare, they say. More than 324 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines were administered in the U.S. from December 14, 2020 through June 28, 2021. During this time, VAERS received 5,718 reports of death among people who received a COVID-19 vaccine. And then they go on to say reports of adverse effects to VAERS following vaccination, including deaths, do not necessarily mean that a vaccine caused by a health problem. A review of available clinical information, including death certificates, autopsy, medical records, has not established a causal link to COVID-19 vaccines. However, recent reports indicate a plausible causal relationship between the J&J Janssen COVID-19 vaccine and TTS, a rare and serious adverse effect, blood clots with low platelets, which has caused deaths. Now, they say, you know, there's no known link that they have found at this point. Yet, when you see some of these stories that are coming out in newspapers, they will report a death, and they said it's going to be many months before we know whether or not this was linked to a vaccination. I've got such a case in point, and I've got to find it down here in my notes. Yes, here it is. The Detroit Free Press. Detroit Free Press. This was published July 2nd. And updated July 5th. The headline reads this: Michigan boy dies 3 days after getting Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. CDC is investigating. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention is investigating the cause of a 13-year-old Saginaw County boy who died in his sleep 3 days after getting his second dose of a COVID-19 vaccine in mid-June. The county health department confirmed the investigation, telling the Free Press that the medical examiner's office conducted an autopsy and the death was reported to the state health department as well as the CDC. The investigation as to whether there's a correlation between his death and vaccination is now at the federal level with the CDC, said a joint statement issued by Saginaw County Health Department Medical Director Dr. Pruitt and the health official Christina Harrington. Meanwhile, the health department continues to encourage families to speak with their physicians to weigh their own risks and benefits of vaccination. The boy, Jacob Silnick, lived in Zilwaukee and had just completed eighth grade when he got his second dose of the Pfizer vaccine June 13th at a Walgreens store, said Tammy Bridges, his aunt. Jacob was healthy, she said. He had no known underlying medical condition. He was looking forward to starting classes in the fall as a freshman at Carrollton High School. He complained of common post-vaccine symptoms, she said, in the 2 days between his immunization and death, which include fatigue and fever. On the night of June 15th, he had a bit of a stomach ache, too. It wasn't severe enough to cause serious concern, she said. Jacob went to sleep that night and never woke up. He passed away in the middle of the night at home, she said. An ongoing investigation, folks, they're saying. It'll be 3 to 5 months to complete the investigation. The funeral was June 26th, just 3 days. 3 days after a CDC advisory committee acknowledged a likely association between the Pfizer and Moderna coronavirus vaccines and the risk of heart problems in adolescents and young adults. Now, number one, folks, don't just treat this as a number. This is a family that's hurting. Let's be praying for this family at this time. The grief, I'm sure, is insurmountable for them. But also understand that this death investigation, they said, could be 3 to 5 months. So how can they come out so quickly on the CDC's website and just say no known links here? You know, nothing is linking these when it takes months to make that determination. I also want to talk about the issue of COVID vaccine from the Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System, VAERS, and total number of deaths through June 18th at that time was 4,812, but all other related vaccine reported deaths from the year 1990, I believe it is, if I can read the chart correctly, was just over 5,039 deaths. So 4,812 to COVID-19 in that 6 month period. And then deaths following on day 0, 1, or 2, an additional 1,736. And they also compare total hospitalizations. They compare permanent disabilities. And those who have received the COVID shot, folks, it is off the charts compared to all other vaccines combined. It's also very interesting that there is an article that's appearing, just came out from the New American, dated July 5th, called COVID-19 Vaccines, A Cure Worse Than the Disease, and that's asked as a question. I'm going to quote a little bit from this. Moderna and Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines, and that's in quotes, are experimental, employing a genetic technology never before used on humans. Legally, those who get the vaccine are unnamed participants in a Stage 4 Food and Drug Administration FDA trial. Moreover, a vaccine is supposed to prevent disease. By that definition, these agents are not vaccines. They are more properly termed experimental, unapproved genetic agents. By admission of the manufacturers themselves, both the Pfizer and Moderna products only lessen the symptoms of COVID. They don't prevent transmission. Multiple large studies done in outpatient settings show excellent results with hydroxychloroquine and other drugs such as ivermectin. In Mumbai, India, a study was done on the city police force of 10,000 officers. I need to preface, this is in the New American. This article is written by Dr. Lee Merritt. So in Mumbai, India, a study was done of a city police force of 10,000 officers. No deaths were recorded in the 4,600 officers taking a small dose of hydroxychloroquine each week. Recently, as the COVID death rate was increasing in India, the country defied the World Health Organization guidelines and started giving asymptomatic and also mild COVID cases 200 kilograms of ivermectin daily for 3 to 5 days and using both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine for treatment, the disease and death rate immediately plummeted. Indian medical professionals cite 219 peer-reviewed studies proving the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine in 93 studies, of which 54 were peer-reviewed, that also showed ivermectin's benefit. As to the claims that the efficacy of the experimental vaccines, the declaration of 95% effectiveness of Pfizer was shown to be false by Dr. Peter Doshi, the associate editor of the British Medical Journal. After doing an independent review of the data submitted to the FDA, Dr. Doshi reported that only about 19% of test subjects experienced the slightest benefit. Absolute risk reduction, in other words, stopping transmission, he estimated at less than 1%. Interestingly, his excellent critique has been scrubbed from the internet. Eagle Forum also coming out and say more than 520 of America's 5,300 colleges and universities, approximately 10%, have announced students must be fully, quote, vaccinated against COVID before they return for fall classes. Among those institutions are the public universities of California and New York. Pending full U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval of the vaccines, together these two systems enroll approximately 1.5 million students. Other state universities have enacted vaccine mandates, include the universities of Michigan and Maryland, as well as Indiana University. Scores of private institutions have also mandated COVID vaccines, including Yale, Stanford, Duke, Johns Hopkins, Cornell, Notre Dame, Emory, Brown, Syracuse, Boston University, and Princeton. And then they say in this Eagle Forum article, we think that these mandates are unethical, chiefly because they indiscriminately require administering an experimental biological agent in the setting of a clinical investigation to a population that's at greater risk of harm from the drug than from COVID. Interesting. Indeed. And one final article here is that two counties in California have reviewed every COVID-19 fatality. This is coming from PJ Media, and refined the approach to classifying the cause of death. Santa Clara and Alameda County delineated these patients who died due to the illness progression of COVID-19 and those who tested positive at the time of death but were not symptomatic. This exercise reduced the number of COVID-19 deaths in both counties by nearly 25%. It is possible the analysis in the two counties was still too generous. A review of COVID-19 deaths in Minnesota found nearly 40% of deaths recorded were not attributed to COVID-19. Another study in New Jersey found 89% among patients with do-not-resuscitate orders before contracting the virus. Under normal conditions, patients with a terminal disease are not considered end-stage illness, they report. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America, and going through this door-to-door vaccine push that's going on from the Biden administration, I would like to open the phone lines to hear from you today. What is your reaction to this? What is your reaction to the announcement that came yesterday from Jen Psaki and then from President Biden just a couple hours after her? Our phone number to Crosstalk today is 1-800-733-9829. Your reaction to what came forth from the White House administration yesterday, 800-733-9829. We'll take your calls after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Universally, man's most basic need is the gospel. It is the gospel that has the power to save. But despite this good news, there are many who resist this compelling message. In the book, I Have Some Good News, authors Preston and Kelly Condra present the gospel and answer close to 50 objections people have raised. Like, there is too much suffering and evil in the world. I reject a God who allows it. Or, God is love, and a loving God would not send anyone to hell. Or, what about all the good things I have done? I think my good deeds will outweigh my bad. The Condras use scripture to address objections such as these. This book is ideal to give to someone who does not know Jesus. I Have Some Good News. It's available for a donation of $14, 3 copies for $32, or 5 for a donation of $44. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Crosstalk here on BCY America. And, friends, we're doing the program remotely today from our facility, Trail Ridge Camp, our studios here, as we are ministering to young people this very week. And encourage your prayers for us and for the team here at Trail Ridge and for all the many precious young lives that are here this week. What a privilege to minister to them. Even as this is going, things are happening in our nation right now with the word from the president as it relates to this door-to-door campaign that's going to be getting underway this summer. And it's interesting that even as we're doing this program, I'm seeing press releases that are coming to us here at VCY America. This one coming now from the Department of Health and Environment from the state of Kansas, announcing all the locations of free vaccine and testing clinics continue statewide with the emergence of the Delta variant, and they go county by county. And folks, not only are these clinic sites, but in some cases are doing it at public libraries, some places as elementary schools. Here's a place where it looks like it's a community food bank where they're holding these testing and vaccination sites. It looks like some of these, here's another food pantry taking place. And this is going to continue. It's not a lack of accessibility. People know about these things, but there are people who are saying, you know what? I'm making my choice. And that is what this is supposed to be about, should it not? Should the government be able to come and force this vaccination? I mean, I'd like to get your reaction to this door-by-door campaign, and then also to see the efforts, even as President Biden talked in his address that he gave yesterday, even going to wherever people are gathered, including places of worship. We're going to go to the phone lines here today. We have line number one. We have Fran calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Fran. You're on the air. What are your thoughts on this issue?
Oh, I'm just appalled by this. I mean, what happened to our choice? What happened to privacy of our health concerns? I mean, it's just appalling. It sounds like Nazi Germany. I'm sorry. That's the way I hear it.
Well, I appreciate that feedback, and many are asking that same question, Fran, because they're saying we're being targeted by this. And when we're being targeted, that means somebody must know whether we've had the shot or not.
Well, that's easy. You go to your doctor's office just for a physical or whatever. They ask you if you've had the shot. Of course, you say yes or no. That's how they're gathering the information. It's very easy for them to gather that information. So that's
Fran,
one
thank you
method
for your thoughts,
that
sir.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your call here today. We're going now to Monroe, Wisconsin, and we have Kathy who is calling in. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hi. I think it's just horrible. I mean, this is not a vaccine. It's not safe, and then they're wanting to force us to take it, and they have no responsibility if people die and no accountability. They tell a woman, you can't tell a woman, you know, what she can do with her own body, you know, when they kill a baby, but now they're telling us that we have to take this, you know, so-called vaccine. This is like communism, you know, and the Nazis. I mean, it's scary. I mean, I don't want to take this vaccine. There's been too many side effects with it. And so I don't know.
Well, you bring up a great point, Kathy. Yeah, you bring up a great point. You know, the mantra, my body, my choice. I guess it doesn't apply in this situation, though.
Just not.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Kathy.
It's really hard.
Indeed. Thank you. We're going next to line number three. We have Judith calling in from Clarksburg, West Virginia. Hi, Judith. You're on Crosstalk.
Yeah, and I agree with the lady that just was on there. This is Nazism. It's coming on strong. Are you there?
How does that, I mean, yeah, I'm here. I mean, when you think about this door-to-door campaign, I mean, do you want somebody coming to your door and you know, asking, are you fully vaccinated here? What information, you know, can we deliver a clinic right or a vaccination to your door? Can we take you somewhere
no.
to get this?
I mean,
how would you respond?
I'll say no. I'll be 76 next month, and my answer is no. I had no intention of taking it to start with. I'm well informed
Chris,
about
thank
it.
You. Judah, thank you for your call here today from West Virginia. Let's go now to Chris, who is calling in from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And Chris, in Lake Geneva, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, what about these so-called HIPAA laws that nobody can share any information with you? So why are they sharing my medical information with somebody that's going to come to my door? And this is communism. And I've been saying this for years, is that we've been taken over and nobody has let us know yet. But now they're letting us know.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate your comments here today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, by the way, is 800-733-9829. Just want to get your reaction. You've heard the information. You heard directly from the lips of the press secretary for the president, for the White House. You heard from the president himself as it relates to this issue. What is your reaction? We're going to Laura next, line number one. Hi, Laura. You are on the air.
Well, my question is, or concern is, why is there such a great pressure about this whole thing? It's kind of like the other people were saying, very scary. Like, there's something behind this that they, it's almost like, yeah, they want to mandate that everybody has it. For why? What reason? What's behind it? What's this vaccine that everybody's got to be on board? I mean, they have a great majority of people already vaccinated. The rest will get immunity through herd immunity. So there shouldn't be I don't understand all this great push going to festivals and setting up shops. And then why going after the children when we know that even if they do get sick from it, they recover. So there's something else behind this.
Thank you for your call here today. And yes, I mean, we've seen it. They're setting up shops in airports, basically. Come in here and get your vaccination. It's happening all over the place. I mean, now they're talking about food pantries and going to places of worship, ladies and gentlemen, for this as well. And this is an initiative that's coming forth from the Biden administration. We're going to line number two. Pastor Mark is calling from Missouri. Pastor, what about going to places of worship for this?
I tell you what, Jim, you know, there's so many, people that identify with different genders and non-binary. So, you know, what about just identifying that you're vaxxed? I mean, identify you're vaxxed.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. And, yeah, I wonder how that would play out. But as a pastor, what do you think about the initiative?
So identify your vaccine.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Mark. And how would you feel about them coming to your church?
Pastor,
I understand.
I am absolutely not for. The church is a chosen place for God's people. It is there for reasons other than vaccinations, and I would be against that. So, anyway, I'll be serious about that one thing when I was very unserious about the identifying as vaxxed. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. But, boy, he makes a great point. I identify as being, you know, protected COVID. Can you imagine somebody saying that and how that would be treated? Let's see. East Troy is next. William calling from East Troy. Hi, William. You're on the air.
Yeah, Brother Jim, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, said it best that when the government comes knocking on your door and says, we're here from the government, we're here to help, that you should be very skeptical of that. And I am 100% skeptical that they're really here to help. I mean, how do we know that these workers coming on your property are not deviants to begin with? How do we know that they don't have some sort of a morph variant of this thing now and giving it to us? You know, I don't want them coming on my property. They don't have permission to come on my property to come and tell me things I don't want to hear. They just need to stay away. And, you know, the one thing of it is now even some of these universities are saying that next fall before young adults can come into the university, that they need to be fully vaccinated. And Senator Ron Johnson did that. Can you play that on your show, that wonderful press conference with all these people who were injured by the vaccine? I think this is dangerous times we live in. And if I could just mention, there was a movie called This Land Is Mine, made in the 1940s. And if you get a chance to watch that video, it plays like if we're living in today. I just can't believe that as Americans, we're not speaking out more against this intrusion upon our privacy. Isn't it the left that said, my body, my choice? Where did they forget about that?
Exactly. Great points, William. Thank you for the call here today. And folks, you can certainly reach out to your members of Congress. You can reach out to your House member, to your senators. You can reach out to the White House opinion line as well and share your views there. Let's go next to line number four in Olney, Illinois. We have Deborah who is calling. And, Deborah, you're on the air.
Yes, that was one of...
someone else that has spoken about how do we know that even these people that are coming in onto our property are the people that we can trust. I mean, they could be just anybody impersonating a person at this point.
You would object to them coming knocking at your door?
Yes. Anybody.
Okay, thank you for your call. Okay, thank you so much for your call, Deborah. Let's get to Muscadet, Wisconsin. We have Star who is calling there. Hi, Star, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say, you know, I've read a lot of the news and that comes out from you guys and that, and it's a blessing. But this is a man-made disease, and why isn't Fauci being held responsible, him and his cohorts in this, in developing it? And why isn't he being held responsible for all these deaths?
That's an interesting question, and I know that he was just recently asked to appear on one of the Sunday talk programs dealing with the origination of the virus, but he refused the invitation to go on there. And there have been many from the right side of the aisle that have been calling for his removal from his position. But you raise a question that many people are asking right now, and thanks for voicing that here today, Star. We're going next to Plainfield, Massachusetts, and Sylvain is calling. Hi, Sylvain, you're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say that all the directions are coming through China. China has got a mass number of brand new things that they're going to send up to the sky, and they're supposed to be aimed at the United States. Also, Mr. Biden, he's not a president. He is a communist king usurper. He has gone after the position of king, and the people have been so blind, and they refuse to listen and look for the truth, which is hard to find today. So I'm really decided that no people who come to my door are allowed in my house. Keep the people at arm's length, because they don't know it, but they are killers by remote. And it's a plan that a lot of people feel we're already at war.
Well, China is, there's no doubt that China is just making big-time moves as far as their military is concerned, the war games that they have going on right now, the buyout of America's universities, even by donations to universities. We see the buyout of land and ports here in the United States. The question is, will they even need a missile, so to speak, because of the influence that is coming from China in that regard? But you raise some very interesting points in this regard, Sylvain, and many are questioning the growing influence that China is having all across these United States. You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America, and we're talking today about the announcement that came from the White House yesterday about door-to-door visits for vaccination purposes. Jen Psaki put it out, the press secretary, door-to-door outreach to get remaining Americans vaccinated by ensuring they have information they need on how both safe and accessible the vaccine is. We're getting your reaction here today at Crosstalk. We'll be back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. This morning, I received a text from the wife of a man that is on the verge of being promoted to captain in the United States Navy. Do you realize what an accomplishment that rank would be? He's worked his whole life to serve our nation and to keep his oath to the U.S. Constitution. And now he's being offered the promotion of captain in the United States military. But he is going to retire and walk away. Why? Because he cannot, in good conscience, serve and rule over men and be forced to promote critical race theory. I received this text today from his wife, and I know both of them. It's heartbreaking to think of the men that have served in our military who should be constitutional leaders who are walking away because they do not want to run and be part of a military that forces Marxism on the troops. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on BCY America, talking to you live from Trail Ridge Camp, just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin here. And, folks, what times we live in here. My mind can't help but go to the Book of Revelation when we know that there is one day coming a mark that is going to be required of anybody who wants to do commerce, to buy, to sell. One is going to have to take this mark, this identification. Now, this COVID shot is not that. But friends, it's interesting to see that what we are seeing really is a dress rehearsal of things to come. All the instruments will be in place for the implementation of a mandatory mark. Very interesting correlation there. But I'd like to hear what you have to say about this door-to-door campaign going on here, announced from the Biden administration. And let's see, we're going to go next to Phoenix, Arizona. We have Andrea calling in from Phoenix. Hi, Andrea, you're on the air. You're on the air. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you for everything you guys do. I'm a new listener. My mom is your number one fan in Phoenix, Arizona as well. And I just think this whole vaccine thing is population control. And it's communism in its highest form. It's an EUA. And it can't tell us what we need to do with our bodies. I just don't agree with it.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Andrea. It does have emergency use authorization. And as the writer of the article, the doctor that wrote that, that those who are taking the shot are part of the phase four clinical trials in all of this. So that really needs to be known as well, that it is not an approved vaccination. It's approved for emergency use authorization. To Olney, Illinois, Debbie is our next caller. Debbie, thank you for calling from Olney. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Debbie. I think the shot is just so wrong. I wish people would quit taking it. If they come to your door, just tell them no thank you, close the door, and keep praying. And that's all I know to say.
Thank you, Debbie. And indeed, we've got to be praying for our nation, be praying for our leaders. Scripture tells us to remember those who are in authority over us, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Thank you, Debbie. Let's go back to Phoenix, Arizona. We have Charles calling in from Phoenix. Hi, Charles. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm a veteran, three tours. And the man that was captain, he did the right thing. It is sad. But this stuff that's going on is not going to stop till we start standing up for our rights, to do what is right, and make these things stop. I don't know how to do it. We can't even trust our representatives, but we've got to stand up. We can't let this go on. It's an atrocity. And they're taking our rights, and these shots are designed, listening to you on the radio, that it's designed to eliminate the populations in the countries. People are dying from it, and hey, the less people there are, the easier it is to take over our country. We need to stand up.
Thank you, Charles, and appreciate your comments. Now, some of you are saying, wow, these are wild conspiracy theories, but folks, keep in mind the role of Bill and Melinda Gates. I mean, they have long been proponents of population control, and also big components of vaccinations. What do those two items have to do with one another? Think about it. We're going to Wausau, Wisconsin. Next, we have Trevor calling in from Wausau. Hi, Trevor. You're on the air.
I'm kind of concerned,
hello,
too,
Trevor.
For here in Wisconsin. Yep, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
I'm concerned,
yes,
here in Wisconsin because we have a governor that's going to go right along with the deep state plan. Like, we literally have no protection here except for Ron Johnson or any one of our leaders, but they're not doing anything as well. So if they come to my door and try to force anything on my wife, I mean, at what point do you have to protect yourself and your family? You know?
Well, let me say this, Trevor. Number one, yes, the governor is, but it's not Senator Ron Johnson with the governor. It's a state legislature. And keep in mind that repeatedly your legislature in the state of Wisconsin has put forth legislation that says no to a mandated COVID shot. It has said no that you cannot shut down churches. No, you're not going to be able to force, employers cannot force employees. But every one of these pieces of legislation that has passed has been vetoed by Governor Evers. And so keep that in mind. There are those who are doing something, and they've gone that far to that point, but they have been shot down by the governor. The Supreme Court in the state of Wisconsin has certainly stood up to the governor's so-called emergency order, saying, sorry, Governor Evers, you have violated the Constitution here of the state of Wisconsin. So keep that in mind, but to watch closely, don't make that blanket statement, because there are those who are doing things and calling the shots on those issues. But there is a powerful veto pen that's been held by your governor in that regard. Let's go next to, let's see, I believe Eric is next from Alvin, Wisconsin. And Eric, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I believe that Dr. Michael Yadin, who everybody needs to look into, Dr. Michael Yadin, former vice president of Pfizer, highly, highly credentialed man, no Christian either. He said that he believes that this vaccine is to implement a global digital ID. So there we have it. There's from...
Yeah, look at Gary Kaa's article on that as well. And I believe that sounded like a voice of Christine calling. Eric had dropped off the line there. Thank you for your comment. We're going now to Watertown, and Warren is calling from Watertown. You're on the air.
This is Jim. This is Warren calling from Watertown. I just called in. One of your callers called in about the doctors releasing information. You know, when you go to the doctor's office, well, my doctor won't release the information. My doctor is Jesus Christ, and they come to my door, I'm going to tell them that I don't need that vaccine. The 91st Psalm promises that no plagues, no evil can even come near my house or my dwelling. And if it won't come near my house, it surely won't come to the churches that it shouldn't have been shut down. And I just pray over all the callers that are coming in that they read that 91st Psalm every day and apply it to their lives. That's God's word promising us to keep us safe. God bless you.
Thank you for the call. Let's see if we can, well, I guess we're out of time. We apologize to callers on hold here yet, but we've run out of time. If you'd like to contact the White House with your comments, the comment line at the White House.
That phone number is 202-456-1111. Call the White House with your comments at 202-456-1111. As always, we thank you for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.